Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Home studio somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. It is Thursday, June the 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. The number that you can call this evening is 603-835-3224. That is a toll-free number, 603-835-3224. And I did check again today about the state motto, and it is still live free or die. It has not changed. And when it does change, I will let you know. But I check almost every day. And I pray that it never changes. One of the things, well, here's a Washington Times story. It's a Washington Times piece. And it's about the Clintons. You know, it's about Billary. And some people are probably saying, Billary? Who the hell is Billary? Well, it's Bill and Hillary. Billary. It sounds better than Hillbill or Bill Hill. So, Billary. I know, and it's and of course, some people, you know, have come to call Mrs. Clinton as hilarious. Hilarious Clinton, which is her own personal pet name. And I stole it from somebody, and I'm not telling you who. Because I did not invent it, but because, you know, there is this thing that if you say it once and you give the person credit, that's good. Then you can say it the second time and you can say somebody else did it. And the third time that you say it, then it can be yours. So this is like the fourth or fifth time I've said it. So I guess protocol says that I don't have to mention who really invented the term. Or the nickname Hillary, or Hilarious Clinton, but and I have no idea who came up with the term, or the nickname Billary, but I also like that. But here's a poll about Billary, especially about Hilarious. About 6 in 10 registered voters think it's likely that the Clintons were selling influence to foreign contributors who made donations to the nonprofit organization founded by former President Bill Clinton. Only 6 in 10? Only 60%? But where is the other 4 in 10? What rock are you living under? You 4 in 10 people. Now it says the former Secretary of State, Hillary Rodham Clinton, Clinton's presidential campaign has been forced to push back on reports involving the Clinton Foundation's acceptance of financial donations from foreign governments while she was serving as the nation's top diplomat. And they were peddling influence all over the place, including in such, you know, benign places as Sweden. Yeah, Sweden, you know, the home of the Swedish chef from the Muppets. The Clinton Foundation's Swedish fundraising arm cashed in as Stockholm lobbied Hillary on sanctions. I didn't even know that there were sanctions on Sweden, I got to tell you. I didn't know that we, you know, during the Obama administration, there were sanctions on Sweden. Why? Well, that's irrelevant at the moment. The whole point is that they donated to the Billary Family Foundation, and then, you know, lobbied Hillary and expected some influence in getting all that change. Now, 61% think it's very or somewhat likely the Clintons were selling influence to the foreign contributors, while 33% thought it was not very or not at all likely. I don't know where this 33 out of 100 people. Think of it that way. I don't know where they're living. Are they watching the same liberal news that the rest of us are watching? Because even the liberals are saying, well, you know, there might be something there. You know, geez, Hillary, you got to come clean with this kind of crap. You know, put it to bed already, please. You got people on the left who are begging this woman to come, you know, just to put it all to rest. Because some of them, they truly do not believe that she did it, but some of them don't care that she did it. They just want her to, you know, put it to rest and clean it up and get rid of it so they can move on with the campaign. But that's the whole point. They know that all this stuff happened, and even the left wants her to come clean about it. You know, I have the most, you know, transparent State Department in history. Now, I don't know where she even comes close to even think, you know, well, I guess because, you know, Obama has the most transparent administration in history, I guess, but... Though she remains the overwhelming favorite in the contest for the Democratic presidential nomination, Mrs. Clinton numbers have also dropped a bit compared to several weeks ago. She sits atop a Democratic field with 57% of the vote, followed by Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont at 11%, Vice President Joseph Biden at 8%, who hasn't even gotten in the race, and Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts at 7%, who also hasn't gotten in the race, and former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley at 4%, who just got in the race. So all of this stuff about her sitting at the top is a bunch of bunk, because Martin O'Malley and Lincoln Chafee have just gotten in the race. They haven't even begun to campaign. And yet we're supposed to believe that Mrs. Clinton is still sitting on top of this massive mountain of voters that just won't leave her. They're going to support her come hell or high water, come what may. She's going to... No, not necessarily so. Now, a survey taken May 9th through 12th, she was at 63%, followed by Warren at 13%. Really? So now Warren has fallen off. Warren has fallen off? I guess she really isn't going to run. No, she's the one that said, well, do I got to put an exclamation point on me saying that I'm not running? She said it. And I have said that I didn't believe that she was going to be getting into it, unless something really drastic changed. I don't think she was going to get into the race, but who knows? Maybe this is something that is going to drastically change, like Hillary being forced to drop out at some point. I'm not sure. I don't think, you know, there are a lot of people saying that they don't believe that she wants to be in the race anymore, that this is just too much and too painful, but she has to because she owes too many favors to too many people because they've taken too much money. So she has to at least make it look, well, if she has to stay in the race and make it look like that she's running, she's not doing a very good job of making it look like she's running, because it doesn't look like she really is. I'm serious. You know, I don't know. If I were her, I'd be out there pressing the flesh pretty damn hard. Just pounding the pavement. Because, you know, remembering that she got, you know, smarted very hard and badly back in 08 and 09 with Obama. You know, yeah, it's Hillary's. Yeah, she's going to be the nominee for the Democrat Party. And all of a sudden, here comes this tall, skinny, no experienced chap out of Illinois that just took it from her and became president. Now, But she's got this issue that she does need to put to rest the issue of the emails. She's got to get rid of that email issue. She can't keep, bringing that email thing around with her, because it's bringing her down. People are not, they're not very happy. And as a matter of fact, here's something from the Politico from Josh Gerstein piece. Dems and Gowdies spar over Hillary Clinton emails. Now, Democratic lawmakers use a hearing on government transparency to... I love this thing, government transparency. Who do these people think they're trying to kid here? There is no government transparency. Especially when you have these meetings in the dark of night and people can't talk about bills that they're, the language and bills that they're reading and going to vote on and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's no transparency. Really. But Democratic lawmakers used a hearing on government transparency Tuesday to defend a Democratic presidential candidate and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton by pointing to the email practices of former state secretaries of state Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice. Now, Stephen Lynch, a Democrat out of Mass, asked, "Do we have any emails from Secretary Powell?" Well, Secretary Powell and Secretary Rice are not under fire for possibly having sold and peddled influence in exchange for donations to a family foundation or charity in which especially they are being enriched by. I love how they try to obfuscate this. See, the whole notion that, we don't have any emails of Colin Powell. Well, Secretary Powell, he's not under suspicion of doing anything, one, illegal, or not under the suspicion of, two, hiding anything. And you can better believe that if he was, they would be demanding his emails just as hard as we're demanding Hillary's emails. He asked the House Oversight Committee hearing with top Freedom of Information Act officers from five government agencies, including the State Department. Now, we did ask him if he had any official records. Assistant Secretary for Administration Joyce Barr said he did not have any records to return to us. Barr added that some official emails for Rice had been located, but she said she rarely used email at all. So if she didn't use email, how's she going to turn over email? She didn't use it. I love the look. You can't compare. Sorry. It was, email is much more prominent today than it was then. Even then. It is. I mean, email's been around for a while now. It started out with, AOL, You've Got Mail. And they had a movie about it. But it wasn't something that was very prolific. And it wasn't something that government officials used a lot of. Emails are now, it's kind of like texting. It's huge now. It always wasn't that way. But now texting is huge. So you got to ask, what is he trying to compare? There is no comparison. Now, with the current Secretary of State, Kerry, now you can compare Kerry and Clinton and how Kerry handles, his emails, because they're similar. And you could say that maybe the Secretary of State in 2016, after the 2016 election, could compare because they're going to be similar. But only in the fact that it's more prominent now As it was under Clinton, not necessarily because there's something that people are going to want to see. I mean, they, you know, I don't know. Kerry doesn't have a private email server anywhere as far as we know yet, does he? And, you know, other secretaries of state didn't have private email servers, and they didn't erase them, and they didn't try to keep them, the emails from people, and they didn't have family foundations, and they weren't accused of peddling influence by selling it to foreign government and foreign agents and foreign operatives. All of this is under Hillary's watch. So, you know, Representative Lynch, Democrat from Massachusetts, you're way out of line. You can't even come close to being relevant with that statement. You can't. You're not. You look like a damn fool. Just going to put it out there. You look like a damn fool. Well, we don't have any emails from Condoleezza Rice or Colin Powell, do we? Well, yeah, hey, well, you know, Condoleezza Rice, she kind of like didn't use email. Oh. And Colin Powell, well, you know, he didn't use a lot of it either, and he didn't have a private email server. Oh. Oh, well, they should still turn over their emails. Well, how do you turn over emails that don't exist? Not erased, like in the case of Hillary, but don't exist because they were never written. You know, Hillary once said, while cackling about it, when somebody asked her about if she keeps a journal or a diary, and she said, oh, heavens, no, because then it would be subpoenaed. Well, why didn't she ever take her own advice about emails? Why did she? I'm, you know, kind of glad that she's got all those emails, but, you know, we can't get to them yet. But why didn't she take her own advice? Here's a woman that knew that whatever she wrote down could someday come back to bite her, and yet she still did it with email. Not only did she do with email, she did it on her own server, and she let people know that she had her own server and got caught with her own server and her own, she had her own BlackBerry? She had her own cell phone. How do you get away with doing stuff that is so blatantly illegal? It's illegal. You're not, you know, you're a government official. There are laws that take care of that kind of stuff. Just saying. You know, you got, folks. I'm almost speechless because this woman, that woman. This woman is just, she's a craze ball like the current occupant of the Oval Office. She's not going to be any better. She really, I mean, think about it. She's not going to be, she's going to be the same kind of radical leftist that Obama is, but she's going to be the female version. She doesn't often seem to be a happy person, and you know, that cackling laugh often comes across as being forced. Really? I ain't no ways tired. I've come too far from where we were. Really? I mean, if a Republican were to do something like that, the left would jump all over them for trying to make fun of people, you know, of color, really. But she's able to get away with it and connect. How is that? I don't know how that is. I wish I knew how that was, but you know, anyway, ranking Democrat, continuing with the story, ranking Democrat Elijah Cummings of Maryland called startling the lack of records from the two Bush-era secretaries. I hope that we look at that era just like we have been looking at the president. They're not getting it. It's not the lack of, well, it is a lack of records because there aren't any. There aren't any emails. They were never created. Not that they were erased and hidden. They were never created. And this whole notion that, you got to get the same thing from the Republic. It's not the same thing. I mean, if Colin Powell was accused of peddling influence for, donations or what have you, and he was using emails in order to try to hide whatever he was doing, I'd say go for it. Get his email. But one, he didn't try to peddle influence. Two, he has no family foundation that he was peddling influence with or for. And three, he wasn't taking donations from foreign governments and foreign entities and foreign agents. And four, he didn't have a lot of emails to begin with. So the reason why you don't have all their records is one, because you didn't ask for them. And two, they never existed because they were never created in the first place. Kind of like Condoleezza, that's like saying, how come we don't have Bush's BlackBerry records then if we're looking for Obama's? Well, because Bush didn't have a BlackBerry. Well, we don't have any of those records. It's because they don't exist. They were never created. You see the comparison, what they're trying to do, folks? They're trying to obfuscate the fact that under Bush, none of those records are available because those kind of records were not created. Under Obama and Hillary, those types of records were created. So therefore, we're asking for those records we're not asking for stuff that they didn't create. I mean, that'd be okay. Well, we want to see what's on Hillary's iPad. Well, maybe Hillary didn't have an iPad. If she didn't have an iPad, then those records could not have possibly been created, so there wouldn't be any existence of any records. I mean, that would be stupid. Stupid for the Republicans, like Gowdy saying, we demand those iPad records. Well, she didn't own an iPad. Well, we demand the records anyway. Well, they were never created. Well, then, damn it, why don't we have their records? Because they never existed. So this is the exact same thing with Bush. They didn't exist because they were never created because they didn't use those devices the way these people are using these devices. They didn't have their own server, evidently. Their own private server. Email server. And look, I'm sure that if Colin Powell did, they'd be all over it and saying, well, where's Colin Powell's email server? Where's Condi Rice's email server? Well, Condi Rice didn't really use email all that often. Good for her. So this whole notion that you're asking for the same records that you're asking from Hillary is ludicrous because they didn't exist because they were never created. So you can't get nothing from nothing. You can't get something from nothing. Anything times zero is what, folks? Zero, right? You learn that in kind of like in mathematics in third grade when you're learning your multiplication table. If you take any number and multiply it by zero, what's the answer? Zero. So, same thing with the electronic records creation. If they never created them, then guess what? They don't exist. And if they don't exist, you can't get them. It's not that somebody hid them or tried to erase them. They were just never created. Zip, zero, zilch, nada. So the answer is zero. Get over it. Hillary's guilty.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war as they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
They made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With a Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
And we are back. Hey, a Pasco
teacher. And for those of you who don't know where Pasco is, this is in Florida, in the Tampa Bay, Sarasota area. And this is a WTSP.com story. Pasco teacher suspended. Now, you won't believe why this teacher was suspended. This teacher was suspended for trying to get control of his classroom. I kid you not. He was trying to get control of his classroom. And he was trying to get control of his classroom because the students there were obviously ignoring and disrupting the class with their cell phones. So the teacher, who happens to be a science teacher, thought that he would do something rather unique and novel. Now, of course, it turned out to be slightly illegal, but he got caught and he got suspended for using a jamming device, a cell phone jamming device in his classroom. Now, here's the story. A science teacher fed up with students on their phones in class is now jammed up with the school district. A Pasco County instructor is busted using a cell phone jamming device in his classroom. Now, Dean Liptak, L-I-P-T-A-K, says he was trying to get students to focus on the lesson and not on their phones at Fivay, F-I-V-A-Y, high school in Hudson, Florida. Now, it costs Liptak a five-day suspension without pay. It's also illegal, but the district says that Verizon chose not to prosecute him. Now, the district is concerned. Now, you got to, here's, this is the funny part. It's not funny. I mean, it's an awful thing to even think about, but this is what some of the people are saying about it. Now, the district is concerned that the device, the jammer, puts students' safety in danger. The student's safety is in danger because they can't make a phone call or get phone calls. I kid you not. Now, Liptak tells the district he only thought the cell phone jammer would impact his classroom and get his students to put down their phones and pay attention. Now, the illegal device impacted a lot more than that. They usually do. And the district says this isn't the first questionable decision by this teacher. Now, Verizon had come to the school saying someone had a jamming device because the cell phone service was being interrupted in the area. And here's why. A Pasco County School District spokeswoman, Linda Kobe, says Liptak's jamming device blocked communication to the cell tower on the 5A high school campus. What the hell is a cell tower doing on the campus? So the kids can get a stronger signal? I understand that, you know, that rent has to be paid for. Look, you don't put cell towers on public school property. Now, if you're going to use the old saying that, well, you know, if he's jamming that because it could be a safety issue. Well, what the hell do you think is going to be a target at the start of a war? A communications tower. What do you think is going to be a target for, say, some terrorist groups? A communications tower. And if you think that, well, we have way too many cell towers to be targeted, you better think again. If you knock out a few strategically, now I don't know which ones are strategic, but if somebody's studying the whole thing, if you knock out a few strategic ones, you knock out a whole bunch of them. Because there are a lot of towers that are not full towers, they're repeaters. In other words, they're amplifying a signal from another tower. So they're not a full. So if you knock out the tower, then the repeaters don't work. See what I'm saying? And that's just common. Look, I know that kind of thing from working in the paging industry back in the 90s. The same thing was happening. You know, they had these towers and they had these repeater towers because they were cheaper and easier and faster to put up and maintain than a full-fledged tower. And they were pointing towards a full-fledged tower and just they amplified the signal of that tower farther. Saves money. But if you knock out that main tower, that repeater isn't going to work because it's tied to the tower. And now they say the consequences could have been dire. It was jamming the signal, so 911 calls, 911 calls couldn't be made. It would affect an emergency in the school. What's wrong with the landline? School still has a landline. Now, here's another saying. Somebody else said about it. God forbid if a child is under a desk because there's a gunman in there. I would want him to reach into his pocket for his cell phone, says parent Marty Cornell. Are you worried about guns in your school? You're worried about the safety of your child because you think that some gunman's going to come in there? But you don't think that some terrorist isn't going to want to knock out the cell tower? All right. Liptick said that he says he talked with a deputy who apparently told him the jammers are only illegal when used with bad intentions. No, that's not true at all. It's against FCC laws. You can't be jamming people's signals for anything, for any reason. Look, I'm not condoning jamming cell phone signals in your classroom. But I am saying that there's a problem when this teacher goes to this type, goes to this length to get control of his class. And parents are more worried about a gunman coming to the school and their kid being under a desk and not being able to make a cell phone call. Hey, parents, how about the teacher was so frustrated because your kids were using cell phones in the classroom? Nobody's thinking of that. Nobody's talking about, well, this teacher felt so powerless to stop it that the only thing he could come up with was a jammer. Why is anybody talking about that? They're all talking about, well, the kid's safety was in, you know, no, the kid's safety, you know, are they paying attention to anything when they're on the phone? No, that's why, you know, look, that's why people walk into things when they're on their phones. You ever see people try to walk and text or surf the web while they're on walking down the street? It's hilarious. I see people do it all the time. They'll walk into a tree or a lamp pole. Well, I've walked into a tree. I've never walked into anything while looking at my phone, though. But I have walked into a tree, and I have walked into a door that I thought was open because I wasn't paying attention because I was looking at something else. Not my phone, but I was looking at something else that was going on in the street. But if that can happen, yeah, it is kind of embarrassing. I'll admit it. But I see people do it all the time, walking into the street lamps and posts and trees and doors and buildings because they're looking at their cell phone, not where they're going. And they're looking in such a manner where their head is fully down. I mean, I'm always amazed at how people just sort of disconnect from the world around them by looking all the way down on their phone. I mean, their head is like looking on the, if you remove the phone, they'd be looking at their feet. That's how far their head is down. Now, when I look at my phone when I'm walking, I hold my phone up. So if you took away the phone, whatever my eyes would be focused on next isn't my feet. It's out in front of me. But people tend to look, when the people that tend to look all the way down at their feet with their phone, they're the ones that are running into stuff. Because they can't focus and they're not paying attention and the whole world is blocked out. But if you hold your phone up as you're walking, you get a picture of all sorts of things around you. I mean, you're still not 100% focused on the things around you, but you're most likely not going to walk into a tree or a building or something. But let me tell you, when you're in class, what is the thing that you're not holding the phone up because you want to hide it? You want to hide it from the teacher because if you're holding it up so you can be looking at the teacher and your phone at the same time, your teacher's going to either take the phone away or tell you to put it away. So you're going to hide it. So you're going to try to have it in between your legs and, you know, below the desk and it's going to cause your head to go all the way down, which means you're going to block out the rest of the world, including your teacher. And this teacher was probably experiencing just that. So instead of people you know, coming to terms and saying, well, let's address this problem in the school. They were probably telling the teacher, you know, hey, it's your class, teach it. And he was probably saying, well, I can't because, you know, all these kids are on their phones. Well, just teach class anyway. So he was probably frustrated, not condoning his actions, just saying that there's a bigger problem there. Always, you know, and they're, you know, they just want to blame the teacher on this one. Hello. I don't think it's just the teacher's fault in this case. You got to look past it. There's a lot more, you know, well, a lot more there. GOP-led House votes to keep restrictions on travel to Cuba. I have mixed feelings on this. But look, our travel bans and trade embargo on Cuba is, I know some people say, well, obviously it's working because the Cuban people are still in poverty, but that's the point. The Cuban people are still in poverty, and the government of Cuba is not suffering at all. And it has nothing to do with, you know, we're the only nation left that's got some sort of sanctions against Cuba. The point is that this is a harsh dictatorial communist regime that just isn't going to give up power, and they'll do whatever it takes in order to funnel the money that they need into their coffers and keep the Communist Party and communist rule going. Now, House Republicans voted Thursday. This is a Newsmax.com story. House Republicans voted Thursday to keep restrictions on Americans seeking to travel to Cuba, a setback to Obama administration efforts to ease the five-decade Cold War standoff. There is no standoff. I love this part. There's no standoff. I mean, in order for there to be the standoff, there has to be, you know, equality here. If we wanted to just thump Cuba and just take it over, we could do it. It would not take, it would be kind of like going into Iraq. Only it would be easier because it's only 90 miles off of our Florida coast. I mean, it would be so much easier just to thwack the Castros and bump them out and set something in place. Now, of course, there would be ramifications later to have to deal with, you know, with Russia and Venezuela and other things. But just to take over Cuba, it's not a difficult thing. Would not be difficult. Just a quick, and a lot of the people in Cuba would be like a lot of people in Iraq. They'd welcome us to do that. You know, wouldn't take much for us to thwack the Castros and then bump them out. But the Republican-controlled chamber voted 247 to 176 to keep a Cuba-related provision in a transportation funding bill. Now, the provision would block new rules issued in January that would significantly ease travel restrictions to Cuba and allow regularly scheduled flights for the first time in over 50 years. Now, the administration rules lifted a requirement that U.S. travelers obtain a license from the Treasury Department before traveling to Cuba. Instead, all that is required for is for travelers to assert that their trip would serve educational, religious, or other permitted purposes. Yeah. So, yeah, we're not going to be able to travel as easy to Cuba as we thought. And indeed, you know, I hear people say, well, Cuba is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful country. Yeah. Back in its heyday, like in the 50s. You know, people vacationed there. You know, it was a tropical paradise with its art deco and everything. It was wonderful. And then they had their so-called revolution, and you had, you know, Chavez and then Castro coming to power instead. And they ended up, that's why they have, you know, lots of 50s era Chevys running around. Yeah, you know, I remember a game. Was it Grand Theft? One of the first Grand Theft Autos. It was one or two, and they had this. You could travel in Cuba, And one of the cars in Cuba was like a 57 Chevy. They had a 55 Chevy, I think. And it was, it's all a bunch of Chevys running around in Cuba in Grand Theft Auto. And it was modern. It wasn't like in the 50s. It was modern, but that's the kind of cars. Well, that's what's going on in Cuba. They don't have a lot of new stuff, which is why Raul Castro is looking to get the embargo and sanctions lifted, because, you know, he just wants to live in a lap of luxury before he and his brother die. Fidel. Yes. It, for those of you who didn't know, if you're in Rush Limbaugh's Real Linda, Fidel is Raul Castro's younger brother. Raul is the older of the two. And Raul is now the president of Cuba because Fidel got sick and decided to retire. So, you know, Fidel is late 70s and Raul is early 80s. So, but, you know, and I'm sure if Raul passes away, then Fidel will come out of retirement to once again rule with an iron fist over the little island of Cuba, just about 90 miles off of our Floridian coast. Just saying. Here's another story from Newsmax. This should piss you off. I know I like to pick stuff that really ticks people off and get them going, but illegals, IRS says illegals granted amnesty can file for back tax refunds. Say what? Illegal immigrants granted amnesty under President Barack Obama's immigration reform will be able to claim back tax refunds from years in which they never filed taxes, the IRS says. Well, they didn't file taxes because they're illegals. They were, look, in order for them to file file taxes and with them being illegal, don't they have to have a Social Security number? Well, if they're illegal, they're not getting a legal Social Security number. So what are they doing? They're stealing somebody else's Social Security number. So now they've just committed identity fraud. Now, identity fraud is very serious and a very serious crime in this country. And people go to jail for identity fraud. But the IRS is saying, yeah, you know, you can commit identity fraud and we'll, you know, under the amnesty rules from Obama, we'll allow you to file your taxes and get a refund from back taxes and, you know, just give us your Social Security number. Well, I have a not my Social Security number. It is a fake one. Yeah, we'll take it. That's okay. You'll be good. You'll be good. To clarify earlier comments on the EITC, not only can an individual amend a prior year's return to claim the earned income tax credit, but an individual who did not file a prior year return may file a return and claim the earned income tax credit, subject to refund limitations under Section 6511 of the Internal Revenue Code. This was in a written response request from Senator Chuck Grassley. Now, Grassley released the comments yesterday from the IRS about this very thing. Now, despite the policy, the IRS doesn't think many illegal immigrants will file for back tax returns because they'll have to produce official documentation that shows how much they earned in a given year. Yeah, like that Social Security number that they used, which is a fake or false or stolen security number, which then means identity theft, which means they have to be, you know, caught, which means they're going to be found out that they're illegal, which means they're going to get deported. Well, maybe they won't get deported because, you know, Obama just released 3,700 illegals, class one criminals onto our streets. So maybe, you know, those people who aren't class one, they'll get an even better chance of staying here in the U.S. by being put out on the street You never know. Filers would have to reconstruct earnings and other records for years when they were not able to work on the books. So now they're working off the books. They're possibly filing with fake Social Security numbers. So the IRS is just saying, well, yeah, we're going to condone all kinds of illegal activity here, you know, and then they're going to give them the ability to get the earned income tax credit, which means what? You and I are going to be paying for illegals. That was the whole point, folks. We told you this. The whole point was, is that, you know, giving them amnesty was a fast track so they could get American dollars. So then they would say, oh, thank you, Mr. Democrat. I vote for you as soon as I can. And then as soon as they, you know, they get up to speed and they become voting citizens, then they'll vote Democrat. That's the whole point and notion of them doing such things on the left. It's called a voting block. And the left thinks that they can get a huge voting block by getting these people to, hey, how would you also like the government knowing where you are? We know where you are because you filed a return, so you owe us. You owe us. Either vote Democrat or get expelled out of the country. You owe us. You know, kind of like Hillary running for president, and they've got all that kind of influence peddling and cash that they took. Well, now they owe a bunch of people. Now, the IRS determined that once a Social Security number is obtained, an individual could go ahead and file for a back tax return up to 3 years, including years when they were illegal workers earning money off the books. Now, what if they were earning money on the books, but with a fake Social Security number, and now they have a real Social Security number? Are they going to be able to use that fake one? Just saying. I'm telling you, what we're doing is we're starting to condone illegal activity. We're starting to condone and accept and even pay. Hey, you know, we used to say that crime doesn't pay. Well, now, thanks to the IRS and a few other government agencies, we're now getting to the point where we can say crime can pay if you're an illegal immigrant crossing the border illegally and trying to earn a living here illegally. It can pay because we're not going to punish you. Well, folks, it is the end of another wonderful program, another wonderful day. I will be back here same back time tomorrow, same back channel. As always, I'm Rod Eckert. This has been the Rod Eckert Show. Thanks for listening. I'm out.